Radio Daily for halfway day.
That's right.
And I know you're going to get technical on me, but if you wait till about, oh, I don't know, let's call it noon today, it's actually halfway of the month. Woo! Ooh. See, there it is. I can do math. The half carry the one thing. Yeah, that's how it works. Hi, everybody. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Welcoming you to the 15th of January, or if you're listening at noon, the 15th.5 of January. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that has his standards, that's podcasting Jude Siegfried.
I distrust the close mouth man. Generally picks the wrong time to talk and says the wrong thing.
Closed mouth men will do that. You got to keep an eye out for them. Hi, everybody. I'm the guy that just listens to people say the same thing everywhere I go. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I need you so bad.
At least that's what I hear. What happened there, sir?
In 1907, Dr. Lee DeForest patents the three-element vacuum tube, or the Audion tube. The component can be used as an electrical signal amplifier, most notably in radios.
1913, the first telephone line between Berlin and New York is inaugurated. There was much rejoicing.
1943, the world's largest office building, the Pentagon, is dedicated at a ceremony in Arlington, Virginia, and will never be the same after the wonderful Billy Flynn stopped working there.
And, you know, after Jack Kerouac stopped working there, too. 1978, while snowed in during the great Chicago snowstorm of 1978, Ward Christensen begins preliminary work on what will eventually become the computer bulletin board system, where people leave little post-it notes.
1985, Leonard Nimoy, best known for his role as Spock on Star Trek, is honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
1995, the sci-fi series Star Trek Voyager premieres with a two-hour episode, Caretaker.
Ooh, that was the one that had Blue Alert on it, didn't it? It's the first time we saw that. I like that. Also, the United Paramount Network, oh, that's what UPN stood for, begins telecasting from its flagship WWOR in New York City. The network will be dissolved, sadly, on September 15th. 2006.
No, 1999, Universal Pictures releases the science fiction horror film Virus, directed by John Bruno, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Sutherland, and William Baldwin. In it, an electrical signal from outer space infects a Russian research vessel with a malevolent alien life form, and the doctor never shows up.
2001, Wikipedia, a free web-based collaborative multilingual encyclopedia, is launched by Jimmy Wales and Larry Sanger with the post of its first entry, which was probably, hey, can you guys send us some money?
2003, Microsoft launches its Xbox Live online service in Japan. Of course, you get a starter kit with several games, a voice communicator, and a one-year online subscription for the low price of $58 US.
2006, the Stardust capsule successfully returns to Earth at the end of its six-year mission with a cargo of dust collected from the Wild 2 comet. The capsule re-enters the atmosphere at a record speed of 28,860 miles per hour, faster than any previously man-made object. Its speed is reduced to 14.8 feet per second by a parachute before landing in Utah, where it is retrieved by NASA scientists. The mission is the first to successfully collect cometary material, and it marks the first time extraterrestrial samples have been collected, aside from rock samples gathered during the Apollo missions, which ended in 1975, as well as any alien poop found in New Mexico.
Well, you know, the FDA says you could have the tiniest bits of alien poop in your stardust. Birthdays?
Michael Cedar, 33, from Murdoch Mysteries and 18 to Life.
Eddie Cahill is 42 from Miracle, Friends, CSI New York, Under the Dome, and Conviction.
Oh, I thought that was CSI Under the Dome for a moment. Regina King, 49, from 227, Boys in the Hood, Mighty Joe Young, Ray, Southland, Boondocks, Big Bang Theory, and Watchmen.
She was so good in Watchmen. Chad Lowe is 52 from Highway to Hell, Pretty Little Liars, Captain Marvel and Young Justice, and of course Supergirl.
James Nesbitt is 55 from Outcast, The Hobbit, and was amazing in Jekyll. And why hasn't he been a doctor yet?
I haven't the slightest idea. Mario Van Peebles is 63 from Rappin', Jaws the Revenge, Sunny Spoon, New Jack City, Full Eclipse, and of course Highlander, The Final Dimension, but not the final movie.
Wasn't he in Hamburger Hill?
Possibly.
With Clint Eastwood, I think. Andrea Martin, 73, from Black Dog Club Paradise, Wag the Dog, Hedwig in the Angry Inch, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, The Rugrats Movie, lots of comedies, but most of us first came to know her from SCTV.
Prickly Heat. Phyllis Coates is 93, the original, and many say best, Lois Lane in the George Reeves Superman show.
Born to Stay No Longer With Us in 1913, Lloyd Bridges. Sea Hunt, Rocket Ship, XM, Airplane, Jovers the Volcano, Hot Shots, Blown Away. Noted airplane pilot, has never landed a plane though.
1921, Frank Thornton, that would be Captain Peacock in Are You Being Served?
And 1929, Martin Luther King Jr. If you don't know what he did, seriously, look him up.
I mean, get educated, folks.
Exactly. On CBS, we've got Anytime Fitness on A New Undercover Boss, Criminal Minds, and Criminal Minds.
ABC Jeopardy, the greatest of all time, are still determining who is the greatest. I say Thunderdome, A New Family, Single Parents, and of course, The Past and the Furious on Stumptown.
Hello, and this is Thunderdome. That'd be awesome. NBC has the Chai Try with your meds, your fires, and your pids.
Over on Fox, it's Flirty Dancing, and Edie is allowed to tackle her half-brother's pro bono case on Almost Family.
CW, the new CW Dog Honors. Nancy's and the Drew. What, Nancy's and the Drew?
Yep.
Oh, I love their band. Yeah, the music's amazing. Nancy and the Drew crew make the decision to risk their lives in an attempt to bring a serial killer to justice on a new Nancy and the Drews.
People love it when it rhymes. On Freeform, Beto is devastated to learn that his older brother is dating Vanessa in A New Party of Five, followed by Good Trouble, which sounds like, you know, Beto dating his older brothers, but I don't know.
A little bit. AMC has Ghostbusters.
FX has Despicable Me 3.
FXX, keep watching.
I forgot that film existed. I saw a commercial for it yesterday. FXM has Spy.
NGC has Pop Star Smuggler on A New Locked Up Abroad on the National Geographic Channel.
Ooh, IFC, come into America.
Paramount, Roback and Davis find themselves in serious trouble after Roback convinces Davis to join him in a scheme to make money on a new 68 whiskey.
Over on Sci-Fi, Julia goes stargazing with Penny. Margo and Elliot forget about a sandwich on a new episode of The Magicians, but we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A formidable lobbyist known for her astuteness, proven track record, and drive to win, must take on an incredibly powerful opponent, but she finds her career threatened and realizes that winning may come at too high a price. Jessica Chastain and Mark Strong star in Miss Sloan. What? That's a weak title.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad tries to be the cool uncle by taking Sarah to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show, maybe in the Zen Room. But when Sarah tries to impress her friends by inviting them along, and Stefan dresses up as Dr. Frankenfurter, Chad ends up with more than he bargained for. But those are some charming underclothes. Meanwhile, Grandma and Kristen are stuck at home handing out candy, so they entertain themselves with a drinking game. Careful, Grandma. Kristen is not some East End witch. She can drink a river and dale of the good stuff and never peek. Not even twice. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
You got mail, baby.
Hey, it's Grace. So I had not heard of where Chabby was guesting this week, so I went and found a copy on YouTube and watched about 5 minutes of it. And let me say, wow, just not the greatest I think I've ever seen. And who knew that this person's going to go on to have that part in the latest Star Wars movie? Because this is an evidence of it. So good luck with guessing. Oh, and Chabby is on. Thanks. Bye.
So there's your clue. It's a short title. So if you want to throw short titles our way, by all means, or tell us anything else going on in your life, and of course, sharing medical secrets, it's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course, you can always send a voicemail by dialing
510-GRD-CROW.
I'm still trying to figure out if they're American or English, because that would help, because if they're English, then they're a bad guy in Star Wars.
Well, they're not Australian.
There. After 5 long years, my latest invention is complete. Surely it will revolutionize personal transportation for decades to come. Hey, who are you in here? Get away from there! You stupid simian sociopath! Don't touch that! Monkeys took my jetpack!
Monkeys took my jetpack at mtmjetpack.com.
Hey, this is Katie Sackhoff, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. Gosh, she has the greatest smile. But I digress.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book.
Indeed it is. What serious books are out there, sir?
Well, from DC Comics, we've got Batman's Grave, 4 of 12.
Oh, wow. That is serious.
Question: The Deaths of Vic Sage, 2 of 4. Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen, 7 of 12. And the final showdown between the forces of freedom and the axis of oppression crashes to a cataclysmic conclusion. Will a fully powered Uncle Sam be enough to stop Cyborg Overman? What dark impulses must Phantom Lady tap into to stop the Plastic Men? And wait a minute, did Adolf Hitler III just murder his own father in cold blood? Oh, you're going to need to read this one to believe it, kids. In Freedom Fighters, wrapping it up with 12 of 12.
Over at Marvel, Marvel Spider-Man, The Black Cat Strikes, number 1 of 5. Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider, 2 of 5. Ruins of Ravencroft, Sabretooth, number 1. Wait, the mists are approaching us? And hey, look, the future is now! Artificial intelligences presents a clear and present danger to humanity and must be brought to heel. The Robot Rebellion battles for the establishment of robot rights, and Arno Stark is Iron Man in Iron Man 2020, number 1 of 6.
From Titan Publishing Group, we've got Life is Strange, number 12. Sherlock, A Scandal in Belgravia, number 2. From IDW Publishing, we've got Dungeons & Dragons, A Darkened Wish, 4 of 5. Glow versus The Babyface, number 3. Napoleon Dynamite, number 3. And Rom Dire Wraiths, 1 of 3. From Oni Press, we've got Rick and Morty versus Dungeons & Dragons, chapter 2, Painscape, number 4. Robin Hood Vigilante, number 3, from Zenoscope Entertainment. And from Dark Horse, we've got Aliens versus Predator, Thicker Than Blood, 2 of 4. Skull Digger and Skeleton Boy, great title, 2 of 6. Tales from Harrow County, Death's Choir, 2 of 4. And Fenris, the beloved character from Dragon Age 2, makes his comics debut in this canonical continuation of BioWare's dark fantasy epic. When the fanatical Canari, seeking to topple the Teventar Mageocracy, one person's young mage's desperate search for her father brings her face-to-face with a notorious mage hunter, Fenris the Blue Wraith. Find out what Fenris has been up to since the incident in Kirkwall. Boy, we can't stop talking about it. In Dragon Age, Blue Wraith, number 1.
From Valiant Comics, it's Bloodshot, number 5. Ray, number 3, which is not Ray Stevens. Image, Hit Girl Season 2, number 12. Spawn, number 304. Undiscovered Country 2, because they made a sequel to Star Trek 6. And squaring off against a hoary horde of horny homunculi, our star-stopping sex pots, Maxi Prime and Gabby Jinx, may have their hands, and a lot else, full in this origin story of orgiastic proportions. Preceding the events of Full Moon's Femme Alien Cosmic Crush, witness the birth of a salacious sci-fi universe in Deadly 10 presents Femalian Cosmic Crush.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Marvel Studios' The Falcon and Winter Soldier TV series is currently in production and just hit its first major problem.
Jeremy Renner guest starred, so this is canceled as well?
Well, actually, the series was previously scheduled to shoot 2 weeks in Puerto Rico, but that's been suspended after the country suffered a 6.4 earthquake last week, followed by a 5.9 over the weekend.
Are we sure Hulk and Juggernaut weren't fighting?
The plan was to shoot in the northern part of the island, but right now it's likely filming won't take place in the country with an alternative location to be found. Either way, production will be temporarily halted until a solution is found and implemented.
You know, my place is available.
Hey! Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan are reprising their titular roles in the series, which will pick up after the events of Avengers Endgame. Emily Van Camp will also return as Sharon Carter. Daniel Brühl will reprise his role as Helmut Zemo. And Wyatt Russell will play John Walker, a.k.a. U.S. Agent. Jeremy Renner will grumble from the court-ordered 50 feet away.
Playing his guitar while quietly weeping.
God, after he was good in Senior Trip.
Yeah, I was. After facing community backlash, Activision has rebranded Call of Duty Modern Warfare's Australian-themed Outback, which is now called Outback Relief, and will donate profits to aid relief efforts in the country.
I'm sure they planned that all along, right?
Well, an Australia-themed Outback DLC pack popped up in Call of Duty Modern Warfare's shop last week at the price of 1,800 COD points, which was, to say the least, ill-timed. With ongoing brush fires devastating so much of the country, Call of Duty community members achieved a largely upvoted post on Reddit that called for Activision to donate profits from the sales to aid in the relief efforts.
Then they decided they should probably drop that whole Ukraine Civil War add-on.
Both Activision and developer Infinity Ward quickly responded to announce that the bundle would be rebranded as the Outback Relief Pack and that they would donate 100% of the profits from the cosmetic pack to aid relief efforts. This also includes any purchases of the Outback bundle that were made prior to the rebranding.
Sorry, Suits. You're going to need a smaller boat.
The Outback Relief Pack contains a total of 8 items, including an operator skin, sniper rifle camo, calling card, and a cutie little koala weapon charm.
Is it Quickie Koala? That would be the coolest speed boost item ever!
This was absolutely the right call of duty. In a game so often criticized for microtransactions, it's good to see DLC helping a crucial relief effort. The pack will be available to purchase across all platforms from now until January 31st. Oh, and one more thing, Activision. I'm not a Call of Duty player, but I will buy the game and every DLC you put out from here to eternity if you just give me a playable Yahoo Serious.
DC's Black Label has brought some more mature books to the market. Numerous critically acclaimed books have been published under the new imprint. However, if there's been one persisting issue with the line, is the numerous release delays. But DC promises that won't be an issue going forward.
I didn't have this problem when it was Vertigo.
DC's mature readers imprint launched its first book, Batman Damned, in September 2018. The controversial book was delayed so many times it took over 6 months to release three issues.
Was it written by Kevin Smith?
Batman Damned wasn't the only series that's really scheduled change from solicitations, as Superman Year One, Joker, Harley Quinn, Criminal Sanity, Birds of Prey, and Batman Last Night on Earth all experienced delays.
All-Star Batman and Robin was quick by comparison.
DC publisher Dan DiDio, if you want to say it that way, recently spoke about the delays during a Q&A with direct marketing comic book retailers. He said that while the line was extremely successful for DC Comics, that they won't be soliciting anything until they're more clear on when each book actually comes out.
Chapter 1 of your business textbook says, don't sell what you don't have.
DiDio saying materials will come out as scheduled is a positive development. It's a shame when a great book comes out and readers have to wait months for another issue to come out, but delays happen. It was getting to be a bit much for the entire line, so it's good to see that, you know, they're understanding solicitations were problematic and they're going to take a more cautious approach going forward. I mean, delays suck, but in fairness, sometimes waiting is good. Just think about how awesome Grace Under Fire is going to be when it comes off a hiatus.
Stars have life cycles. They're born when bits of dust and gas floating through space find each other after falling in love and collapse in on each other and heat up. They burn for millions to billions of years, and then they die.
Spoilers!
When they die, they pitch the particles that formed in their winds out into space, and those bits of stardust eventually form new stars, along with new planets and moons and meteorites. And in a meteorite that fell 50 years ago in Australia, scientists have now discovered stardust that formed 5 to 7 billion years ago, the oldest solid material ever found on Earth.
Nope. Stop. Get rid of it. This is how doomsday movies start.
Philip Heck, a curator at the Field Museum, associate professor at the University of Chicago, and his colleagues examined the materials that they called pre-solar grains minerals formed before the sun was born. They're solid samples of stars, real stardust, says Heck. These bits of stardust became trapped in meteorites where they remained unchanged for billions of years, making them time capsules of the time before the solar system.
Oh, so now we've got a new time frame before sun? Wait, BS? Oh, I approve.
Pre-solar grains are hard to come by. They're rare, found only in about 5% of meteorites that have fallen to Earth, and they're tiny. 100 of the biggest ones would fit on the period at the end of any sentence. Once the pre-solar grains were isolated, the researchers figured out from what types of stars they came and how old they were. We use exposure age data, which basically measures their exposure to cosmic rays, which are high-energy particles that fly through our galaxy and penetrate solid matter, explains Heck. Some of these cosmic rays interact with the matter and form new elements. And the longer they get exposed, the more those elements form.
And the superhero it creates will be so cool!
The researchers learned that some of the pre-solar grains in their sample were the oldest ever discovered based on how many cosmic rays they'd soaked up. Most of the grains had to be 4.6 to 4.9 billion years old, and some grains were even older than 5.5 billion years. For context, our sun is about 4.6 billion years old, and the Earth, 4.5.
And doesn't look a day over 3.5 billion.
It's been smoking a little bit too much, and looking a little worse for wear. But the age of the pre-solar grains wasn't the end of the discovery. Since pre-solar grains are formed when a star dies, they can tell about the history of stars. And 7 billion years ago, there was apparently a crop of new stars forming, a sort of astral baby boom, if you will.
Okay, astral boomer.
This finding is ammo in a debate between scientists about whether or not new stars form at a steady rate, or if there are highs and lows in the number of new stars over time. Some people think that the star formation rate of the galaxy is constant, says Heck, but thanks to these grains, we now have direct evidence for a period of enhanced star formation in our galaxy 7 billion years ago, with samples from these meteorites. This is one of the key findings of our story. If they are right, that means there are fewer stars being formed. Don't you worry, though.
Even though the gods are crazy, even though the stars are blind, if you show me real love, baby, I'll show you mine.
They came to disgust us in the 80s, and they have continued to do so for three decades. 2020 marks the 35th anniversary of the Garbage Pail Kids sticker trading cards that took the world by storm. The kids have stayed with us in creative ways so far, and for celebrating 35 years with them, Monopoly is teaming up with Topps to bring us Garbage Pail Kids-themed Monopoly.
35 years? Are you serious?
Yeah.
At least in the game, if you win a gross-out contest, you get to collect 10 dirty tissues.
According to the statement by Monopoly, the new version of their game will help us relive the totally awesome 80s. The cards that came as a parody of the famous Cabbage Patch Kids have carved a place for itself. Cabbage Patch Kids toys, you know, have the vinyl head, the fabric bodies, all the rage in the 80s. Ask your mom, kids, or your grandma. They killed somebody for them. It was then that Topps, the company known for making sports trading cards, decided to produce Garbage Pail Kids trading cards. The illustration was done by Art Spiegelman, best known for his Pulitzer-winning graphic novel, Mouse.
It also gave us one of the finest performances Mackenzie Austin has ever delivered.
It's a true fact. The Garbage Pail Kids version of Monopoly is going to feature the signature artwork from the classic card collection with custom illustrations for a new generation of fans. The game also comes with 6 GPK tokens and probably has a go directly into the toilet instead of go straight to jail card to keep up with the gross aesthetic.
Great. Now I can finally drop off Garbage Pail Kids at the pool.
In 2020, you can expect a lot more Garbage Pail Kids themed merchandise since Topps is prepping a big celebration for the 35th anniversary. The cards feature kids with, you know, a kind of punish abnormality, and they're going through terrible and often disgusting times suffering. They have characters like Adam Bomb, Bony Tony, Drippy Dan, Slobby Robbie, and that'd be delightful if it wasn't so disgusting, but still pretty hilarious if you have a sense of humor that is rather dark. After a short hiatus, the cards were reintroduced in 2003, and they've been going steady ever since. Now, the shadowy and secretive producer who has kept this franchise going was asked why he keeps funding these projects. He simply replied,
I love
GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. You never know who's going to stop by. Thanks, secret shadowy producer guy. I should have realized he had the money, like that being green. Hey, thank you. Try it. Go to Facebook, Twitter, all that things. GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. All that fun stuff. The website's geekradiodaily.com. You can leave us reviews on iTunes or wherever you have know about podcasts. Tell 6 people this is not Amway, but you should still make circles of friends and get them introduced to it. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send a voicemail too.
510-GRD.
Bringing enough subscribers and you can go diamond.
You know, I'll be a diamond one day. Thank you, Jerry Reed.
This is developing into a very bad habit.
Good night, suckers.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
We're alone in an uncharted part of the galaxy. We've already made some friends here and some enemies. We have no idea of the dangers we're going to face. But one thing is clear. Both crews are going to have to work together if we're to survive. That's why Commander Chakotay and I have agreed that this should be one crew. A Starfleet crew. And as the only Starfleet vessel assigned to the Delta Quadrant, we'll continue to follow our directive to seek out new worlds and explore space. But our primary goal is clear. Even at maximum speeds, it would take 75 years to reach the Federation. But I'm not willing to settle for that. There's another entity like the Caretaker out there somewhere who has the ability to get us there a lot faster. We'll be looking for her. And we'll be looking for wormholes, spatial rifts, or new technologies to help us. Somewhere along this journey, we'll find a way back. Mr. Paris, set a course for home.